Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Kelly Jean Kelly and Brian Lynn. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, Katie Weaver will bring us this week's personal technology report. But first, community organizations on the Indonesian island of Java are demanding that a statue of a Chinese god be destroyed. Protesters from the organizations demonstrated in the city of Surabaya on Monday. They gathered in front of the East Java Provincial Legislative Building to demand the demolition of the warrior god statue. They claim it does not represent Indonesian culture. The brightly colored 30-meter-tall statue stands on the grounds of the Kwan Seng Byo Temple in Tuban, East Java. The statue is now covered in cloth. Chinese Indonesians are a minority in the world's most populous Muslim nation. Local Chinese Indonesians say the protesters do not understand that the Confucian God directs people to oppose war. One local official told VOA the only problem with the statue is that it lacks a building permit. The protest over the statue of the Chinese God comes at a time of religious tension in Indonesia. In Jakarta, Islamist protest against the city's Chinese Christian governor, Basuki Ahok Purnama, turned violent during his recent re-election campaign. He is now serving a 2-year jail sentence after a court found him guilty of blasphemy charges. Purnama failed to win re-election in the April voting. He lost to Anis Baswedan, whose campaign was backed by supporters of political Islam. In July, Indonesian President Joko Jokowi Widodo banned the group Hizbut Tahrir, which supports creation of an Islamic caliphate. And while the country is officially secular, not supporting any one religion, public support for Islamic Sharia law has been on the rise. Didik Mahudi helped to organize the Tuban protest. He told local media that many consider the huge Confucian statue an insult to Indonesia. The statue has been part of the local landscape since July. At the time, the chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly said he hoped Indonesians and foreigners would come to see the statue. However, his comments did not please Didik Mahudi. He said, if they want to make a memorial statue, it should not be that high. Maybe it should be at most 2 meters high and inside the temple if it is a memorial. This statue is so tall, it's as if the god of war has taken over Tuban, and we can't permit that. Gotat Santosam heads the Regional Association of Chinese Indonesians in East Java. He said the protest was based on a lack of understanding of the statue. He said, they misunderstood and thought the statue is of a general, that we are showing respect to a war general, but that's not true. What we respect is what he symbolizes, loyalty, our loyalty to humanity, and he defends justice. Abu Cholifa is a member of the Tuban Regency legislative body. He is blaming outsiders for the debate about the statue. He said, "They wanted to turn a statue of a Chinese god into a political issue in a nation with a long history of oppressing the Chinese community." "If there is any issue with the warrior god statue," he added, "it is that the local government failed to issue a building permit before it was put up."
The threat of a nuclear conflict between the United States and North Korea affected an event marking the anniversary of the world's second atomic attack. A crowd gathered in the Japanese city of Nagasaki Wednesday to remember the U.S. atomic bombing there in the final days of World War II. The attack took place on August 9, 1945. 3 days earlier, U.S. forces had dropped an atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima. The mayor of Nagasaki spoke at Wednesday's observance. He said, "A strong sense of anxiety is spreading across the globe that in the not-too-distant future, these weapons could actually be used again." He and the crowd observed a moment of silence at 11:02 local time, the exact time when the atomic bomb was dropped. The ceremony took place a short time after U.S. and North Korean officials exchanged strong language about North Korea's nuclear activities. On Tuesday, American media reported that the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency thinks North Korea recently succeeded in building a small nuclear warhead. The weapon is said to be small enough for the missiles that North Korea recently test-fired. The North Korean government has threatened nuclear war with the United States in the past because of United Nations sanctions against North Korea. Those measures are meant to punish the government for its nuclear tests. U.S. President Donald Trump warned North Korea Tuesday that its threat against the United States will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. North Korea reacted quickly to Trump's comments. The North's Korean Central News Agency said, "The North Korean military is examining its plan for making an enveloping fire around Guam." The U.S. military has bases on the island territory. This is the first time that North Korea has identified an exact target. Balbina Huang teaches at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. She said, "The increase in rhetoric does raise existing tensions, but it does not translate into a shift of U.S. policy or strategy on North Korea." A former deputy U.S. ambassador to the UN, David Pressman, is concerned about the rising tensions. "Perhaps there wasn't a careful consideration of the words of our commander-in-chief in this instance," Pressman said. He added that, "If ever there was a topic on which we need to be extremely precise, it's nuclear proliferation when dealing with someone who is as unpredictable as Kim Jong-un." Speaking to reporters while flying to Guam, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said he does not believe there is a threat to the island anytime soon. He added, "The president is sending a strong message to North Korea in language that Kim Jong-un would understand." In Seoul, South Korean officials seem to agree with Tillerson's comment. A top official said, "I do not believe the situation has reached a state of crisis, and rather think we may turn this into an opportunity to overcome the serious security condition." The South Korean news agency Yonhap reported his comments.
More than half of the languages spoken by India's 1.3 billion people may disappear over the next 50 years. The People's Linguistic Survey of India, or PSLI, recently made the comment during the launch of the latest volume in its planned 50-volume study of India's languages. There are as many as 780 languages spoken in India, the PSLI said. The scholars called for increased efforts to preserve the languages spoken by India's tribal communities. G.N. Devi, the chair of PSLI, said, "At least 400 Indian languages are at the risk of dying in the coming 50 years. India has already lost 250 languages in the last 50 years. Devi added that when a language is lost, so is a culture. The scholars and teachers at PSLI document Indian languages in order to save cultural heritage and diversity. Most of the at-risk languages are spoken by tribal communities. Children from these communities sometimes receive no education. If they do go to school, they are taught in one of India's 22 officially recognized languages." Ashish Nandi is a political psychologist. He said India has many old languages, some spoken for the last 1,000 years. He said such languages are surviving somehow in India, but we are hardly passing them on. Devi said the PSLI will soon start work on a project to document about 6,000 living languages in the world. Their report is expected to come out by 2025.
Thank you. A Spanish company has opened the first public napping space in Madrid. Siesta and Go promises Spaniards a quiet and restful getaway in the middle of the city's business center. Napping spaces are nothing new. Places to rest already exist in other big cities, such as Tokyo, London, Brussels, and New York. But the idea would appear to work well with the culture of Spain, where people traditionally take an afternoon nap called a siesta. Siesta and Go invites people to try a different place to lie down and enjoy the qualities of a short rest. The siesta is considered one of those small pleasures of life, especially recommended in every way for its clear health benefits, the company says on its website. The Madrid Nap Bar recently opened with 19 beds. They can be rented by the minute or by the hour. People can choose either a private or shared room. An hour of napping time inside a private room costs about $15. The company also offers areas to work, as well as armchairs, newspapers, and coffee for those not wishing to sleep. Philip Marco is one happy customer. Marco says he gets tired during the day because he has a long drive to work. He says a siesta is the perfect way to build up energy.
I come for about 30 minutes, something like that. Sleep 30 minutes, and that usually is enough for me to be able to get through the evening.
Siesta and Go provides all bedding, clean nightshirts, and other materials. Nappers can request to be woken up when their time is up. While many Spaniards love their midday naps, others, like Carlos Villarroya, say they are just too busy to keep this tradition.
It's a Spanish tradition, but I think that it's more of a legend than a tradition, because with the lifestyle we have, the working hours, the rhythm of life that all Spanish workers ultimately have, you have very little free time for a siesta, in my case, at least during the week.
But many health experts believe there is evidence that taking a short nap can be very good for the body and mind. Guy Meadows is founder of The Sleep School, which aims to help people get better sleep. He says power naps can increase energy, improve memory, and help people stay focused, along with other benefits.
And actually, we've seen that you can double an individual's ability to solve a creative problem after a power nap than if they haven't.
Siesta and Go cites scientific studies suggesting that taking a siesta can also prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and reduce stress. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. Every day seems to be a different day on the internet. For example, August 8th was International Cat Day. There were even more pictures of cats on social media than usual. It was both International Beer Day and Coast Guard Day on August 4th. Later this month, people will celebrate Rum Day, August 16th, and Eat a Peach Day, August 22nd. On August 28th, if you see someone wearing a bow tie around their neck, it might be because it is Bow Tie Day. In 2014, Money Magazine interviewed John Brian Hopkins. He is a food writer from Birmingham, Alabama. Hopkins started a website called Foodmentary. Hopkins said he created different food celebration days for fun, and they caught on. For example, August 2nd was National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. Did you celebrate by eating a frozen treat made of ice cream and two cookies? The magazine called these days fake holidays. But that may not be fair. Many people enjoy celebrating these days, even though they may not be formally recognized. In the article, Hopkins said he has the right to change what is being celebrated on any given day. I might decide that I don't like what's being celebrated that day, he said, so I make it a new one. Hopkins said he does not usually make days celebrating healthy food. I like the foods that America really likes, he said. Some upcoming food-related holidays celebrate filet mignon and soft serve ice cream. This Wednesday was Book Lovers Day. Many internet users celebrated the calorie-free act of reading. People who wrote on Twitter using the hashtag Book Lovers Day received a smiley-faced emoji reading a book. Some publications created lists of ways to celebrate the day. Bookish.com's 10 Ways to Celebrate National Book Lovers Day included visiting the library, buying a new bookshelf, and rereading an old favorite book. The magazine Fast Company reminded people of a story from earlier this year. It listed the 5 books on Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates's summer reading list. The books included Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance, A Full Life by former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, and Born a Crime by talk show host Trevor Noah. His book is about growing up with a black parent and a white parent in South Africa. Noah was a young boy during the period known as apartheid. TED Talks reminded readers of their list of 101 book recommendations for the summer. They are broken into categories like When You Are Lying in the Sun, When You Are in the Mood for Adventure, and When You Are Spending the Summer in the City. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Parents usually teach their children how to cross the street safely by looking both ways for cars. But do they also teach them to put away their cell phones? The city of Honolulu, Hawaii, wants everyone to learn that lesson. Texting while crossing the street will soon be banned in the city. Beginning on October 24th, you could be fined from $15 to $99 if you step into a Honolulu street while looking at your phone. Honolulu is the first major U.S. city to ban what is called distracted walking. It recently passed a law in a 7-2 vote. The law says, no pedestrian shall cross a street or highway while viewing a mobile electronic device. In other words, do not look at a screen when you cross the street, or you could be fined. The law's creators hope it will lower the number of people hit and killed by cars in the city. Mayor Kirk Caldwell told Reuters news agency, "We hold the unfortunate distinction of being a major city with more pedestrians being hit in crosswalks, particularly our seniors, than almost any other city in the country." The law includes all electronic devices with screens, cell phones, tablets, gaming devices, digital cameras, and laptop computers. The law does permit an exception. Pedestrians may use such devices in the street to call emergency services and rescue workers, such as firefighters and police officers. Pedestrian deaths have been increasing as the use of cell phones rises. The Governor's Highway Safety Association, or GHSA, says pedestrian deaths in the United States increased 25% between 2010 and 2015. That trend continued in 2016, with the number of pedestrian deaths rising to almost 6,000, 11% higher than in 2015. Other U.S. cities may follow Honolulu. The state of Washington was the first to outlaw distracted driving back in 2007. Now, 46 other states, as well as D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, have laws against texting while driving, reports the GHSA. If you still want to text while walking, you could avoid being fined in Honolulu and be safer in general by using a voice-controlled digital assistant, such as Siri or Google Assistant. Or you could just wait until you are again safely off the street. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.